To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
Could add something special.
Please don't hurt me.
You know, I really thought you were the one.
Please.
Don't worry. Sooner or later, I'll find her.
I've had plenty of relationships, but in the end, they never seem to work out. Want me to shoot his fingers? Welcome to Legends of Gotham, where we talk about Fox's hit series Gotham, set in the world of Batman. I'm Bill Meads.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And we're back.
We're back.
A dinosaur story, or a Batman story.
A Batman
or something
story.
Like that.
A catgirl story.
No, we're back from the hiatus.
We are.
I just noticed I have a party in the back on my hair, too, on the live stream.
There's a party?
In the back. I have a little bit of a mullet going on, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Because I haven't got my hair cut since Gotham went off the air because I said I'm not getting my hair cut until I find out what this ogre's all about. So we're going to go ahead and do that soon. By the way, we do have a chat room here
at
live.universebox.com where we record the show live every evening, every Tuesday evening.
Not every evening.
Yeah, not
that'd
every
be
evening.
A lot
that'd
of episodes.
That'd be intense. At 8:30 p.m. EST, live.universebox.com. We love to have you over there. We love showing the chat, talking to the chat, referring to the chat, and just having you guys there
chat,
to be kind of like
chat, big chat.
Like a party. It's a big party.
There's a party in our chat room. So fun.
It's okay. We're a little loosey-goosey
it's
this
a little
episode.
Loosey-goosey
well,
tonight.
We're coming back from a big break. We did have our spoiler party
yes,
a couple
if
weeks
you missed
ago.
That.
So definitely check that out. Also, we had a teaser from the executive mm-hmm. producer of Gotham, John Stevens.
That's awesome.
So definitely check that out. Episode 28, if you want to check that out. But mm-hmm. We're here to talk Gotham.
We're here to talk Gotham. This week's Gotham.
Enough with this Billy Ballying around, Anne-Marie.
Oh, go ahead Billy Ballying.
Go ahead and give us the rhyming, riddling episode summary.
All right, let's see how this goes. Where would you take Miss Grace Fairchild? The ogre's apartment is where things get wild. If the fish can swim, why does she need a ship? She doesn't. It's all just another Mooney swap trick. What do junkies land on? Not their feet. Will Catgirl teach Batman how to seam street? Will Jim take the case or live one more day? The thrills and the hunt in this week, Beasts of Prey.
Beast of Prey.
Beast of Prey.
Beast of Prey.
Beast of Prey.
What'd you think?
It was really good.
You liked it?
That's really good. It was good. I mean, it was definitely a getting back into it thing, mm-hmm. but you know, things happened. Important things happened.
Definitely.
Cool things happened.
Definitely.
So, how about you?
They made some very interesting, unusual stylistic choices with that kind of how the episode was laid out. But I liked it overall, definitely. I had a couple minor quibbles, but nothing major.
Minor quibbles?
Just minor.
No quabbles, though, right?
No just quabbles. Just quibbles and bits.
Quibbles and bits.
First of all, the first main thing I wanted to talk about, and this is pretty standard for me. I'm a big Batman fan, so generally the stuff with Bruce and Alfred and Catgirl really gets me going, right?
Yep.
Apparently Bruce Wayne doesn't have any street smarts whatsoever. I don't know why. It's not like he's been locked up in a Wayne Manor for his entire life or something. Oh, wait.
He has.
So while he's very, you know, book smart and very intuitive and will become the world's greatest detective, all that sort of things, he doesn't have a lot of street smarts. Uh-huh. So every scene with Catgirl in this episode kind of stresses this from him not expecting her to hit people with a brick, you know, when she's like,
yes!
I could have hit you with a brick. And he's like, why would you do that?
It doesn't make sense.
Very, very naive Bruce Wayne. Very, very naive. And then also the thing where he didn't know. Realize what a shooting gallery was. He thought it was a gun range, not
okay. Like, see, and I like can't blame him because I totally would have been the same person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Like, I honestly never expected to see like a kind of like an opium den kind of thing on network TV like that. It reminded me almost of a scene from a Breaking Bad where Walt goes in and finds Jesse Pinkman in a place like that.
Oh, really?
After a big bender, yeah.
Oh, more things I don't understand.
You should watch that sometime. It's a good show, Breaking Bad. I also thought it was a fitting that Alfred was sidelined considering, Alfred is there. He can help Bruce learn how to fight, how to detect, all that kind of stuff. Alfred doesn't have a lot of street smarts. He's more of a warrior, a soldier kind of thing. Where so Bruce needs Selina Kyle there to kind of show him all the street tricks.
Got it.
Selina Kyle street tricks. I was going to do an infomercial thing, but then I couldn't think of a realistic 800 number. Rough.
1-800-555.
So once they get to the heroin den, the shooting gallery, and they find Reggie there, which I wasn't expecting him to be a junkie. Necessarily.
I was. But were I actually I was a little bit of junkie, but definitely thought he was a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely saw gambler.
See, I thought maybe alcoholic. I wasn't expecting junkie.
But they got to take it dark.
So they confront Reggie there, and, you know, they get the information that Sid Bunderslaw and I forget her first name, but Mathis were behind everything, right. Like, you know, trying to suss out what was going or how much Bruce knew. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, Sid Bunderslaw, I believe we saw him in that Wayne board meeting because I saw some people speculating about him.
Mm-hmm.
There's an actor who plays him too that's listed on IMDb. But what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say the one of the things I actually did catch from that was he said something like they were scared of you or he was scared of you, which is why I had to go after you. This is the wrong note. I'm like, Zelina. What? No.
I did find here it's listed as Sid Bunderslaw on the Gotham casting sheet is Michael Potts, which I believe I saw him in the Wayne board meeting. I could be wrong, though.
He was scared. That's why he sent me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
scared of being found out, I'm guessing.
Right. But mm-hmm. He was, you know, scared of what Bruce had to say and do and stuff.
Yeah. And we know that Mathis had a...
Oh, the Joker's in the chat room.
Oh, hi, Joker.
Hi, Joker.
Look at this Joker.
Look at that Joker.
But I know that Mathis also was there when they went to out to a, what was that, Warehouse 39, I think,
yeah.
Where all the supernatural
yes.
kind of stuff was being
yes.
stored. I know she was there for that too. So yeah, they're definitely kind of pressing in, getting a little too close.
Yeah.
But you know, after Reggie gives them that information, Kat makes a difficult choice.
She does.
Over by the window.
Well, she saves Bruce from himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, he's all like, I want to push him out the window. And she can see it and she can't even morally let him do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, no.
Well, do you think she couldn't let him do it or she saw that he wouldn't? Because he was like going for the button and like backed up all of a sudden.
I think she took the choice out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't let him have to make that moral choice because she's already a criminal. She couldn't do that to him.
Mm-hmm.
They're still tight. They got a thing going on.
Yeah.
I don't think she would let him do that.
Yeah, and I think it was a situation that she realized in that moment that if they let him go, if they let Reggie walk away from that situation,
they're
Bruce
gone.
Was pretty much dead.
Right, because he's going to rat him out.
Guaranteed.
So, yeah.
But I definitely enjoyed the interrogation scene, too. Definitely David, I forget his last name.
I can't pronounce it.
The kid who plays Bruce Wayne finally getting to flex his bat wings a little bit in the
yeah.
interrogation scene. That was a very Batman interrogation.
Right.
Although he didn't sell me on... You know, the intensity of the Batman in that interrogation scene as much as he has in previous episodes.
Mm.
Like, it could have been just a transitional thing, too. Like, maybe he was playing feeling uncomfortable in the space or something because,
right.
you know, he's not used to being
he's
in a place.
He's not being
like,
there,
know.
No.
But do you think that Bruce is still going to want to work with Selina after this? I mean, if this was a situation with Batman and
Catwoman,
then you know, Batman would just turn her into the police and be done with it. Most likely for killing somebody. Like, he usually lets her like slide with like stealing
stuff.
Yeah, but killing somebody is a whole different
I don't know
level.
I don't know because she kind of did it to save him.
Oh, by the way, Bobby in the chat room says he thinks that she saw that he wouldn't and that's why she did it. So hashtag team Bill. But go ahead.
Wait, I believe AM is right. Oh, ultimately I believe AM is right. So hashtag team Bill.
Yeah, if you agree with Anne-Marie, throw out a hashtag team Bill.
What?
We've reversed it.
No reversage. No reversage.
Yeah, I personally think that he'll probably let it slide this once. Don't kill anyone again, Selina.
Now, no more murder.
No more murdering, Catgirl.
No more murdering.
No, but overall, as always, that was one of my favorite parts or plot lines in the whole episode was just the whole Bruce storyline.
It's an amazing storyline. Mm-hmm. It just keeps like... mutating and
growing. I'm glad they featured it so much because they weren't originally planning on having him in it very much at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe every 3 or 4 episodes or something. He was supposed to be just like a little plot line dancing off in the background.
I think their chemistry, the two of them, are really Carmen.
Gordon and...
Oh, well, no. I was going to say...
Oh, you mean for...
The actors.
Catgirl and Bruce.
I think their chemistry is just so phenomenal. Mm. And, I mean, they have quite a story later in life, too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A great love story, kind of.
A great love story. You always have to see the beginning.
Yeah.
And why they end up having to push away.
Speaking of beginnings, I also think it's very cool that the way Alfred was playing it, like, I'm not injured, Master Bruce. I'm going to go and save everything.
I've got this. Oh,
I'm bleeding everywhere. And then Bruce just leaves him on the couch.
He tucks him in on the couch. I was like,
he doesn't call any medical personnel or anything.
Marshall's on team, Anne-Marie.
But I definitely, if I was Bruce Wayne when I got into the Batman years, I would definitely be throwing that back in Alfred's face anytime he was like, Master Bruce, you can't go out. You broke a leg or something.
I'd be like, hold on, Alfred.
You were bleeding
hold on, wait,
out of your
Alfred.
Gut?
I'm bleeding.
Remember that time you wanted to go to the heroin den and you were bleeding out of your gut, Alfred? What?
Because
we've
just been stabbed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wynn says in the chat room, real cats always knock things off ledges, so her action fits.
Actually, yeah.
Totally. I like that. Okay.
Nice. Okay.
You wanted to talk a little bit about Lee.
Lee.
Sorry, it's a Tenacious D song. Go ahead.
And that's why I don't know it. Okay. Now, I asked Bill about this earlier. I was like, is she like a good person or a bad person? Because we know everybody seems to go through a big change in the next 20 years.
Yeah. And just FY information, in general in the comics, yeah, she's on the side of the angel. She's probably about as close to neutral good as you can get.
See, you say neutral good. I don't think she's like the evil, like the neutral good. I think she's like, what is it? Like, I want an evil good.
Like chaotic good?
Maybe chaotic good.
I'll pull up an alignment chart.
Pull up a chaotic good for her. Because she gets just a little too excited about homicide and new investigations and all of that. So you're going to... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, this one's actually kind of fun. Here's an alignment chart with only Batman in it. It's like the alignment chart via Batman. Hold on, let me try and get this up here. Yeah, so I... classic 60s Batman is lawful good. Then let's see, neutral evil is it looks like a
what
kind of
neutral
a 90s
evil
Batman.
Even mean what is that?
We'll give you a D&D lesson off of the podcast. So
no, no D&D lessons.
But sorry, go ahead back to your point about Leslie. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh, Leslie. Okay, she just seems to get way too excited about the homicides and all that. So and I'm also not sure if she's more interested in the case from a medical perspective or from a police perspective, because she seems to be digging even more deeper. I don't, whatever, English isn't working for me today. from the ulterior angles, like, yeah, she'll bring in her medical knowledge when necessary, but she's like, oh no, there's this speakeasy down the road, this girl could have been my friend, we're about the same age.
I thought it was really weird that all the speakeasies had registered liquor licenses. Just a little bit.
Yeah, that was a little weird. Isn't that the point of a speakeasy?
Yeah, that, like, it's supposed to be secret and little, sanctioned.
Yeah, not so much.
Wynn agrees with you, by the way, that Lee's shifty.
Lee's very shifty.
Leslie, sorry.
No, Lee. but I just think it's weird because now she's had a significant hand in multiple investigations, and she keeps pushing Jim even when he doesn't want pushed.
Yeah.
And he's the pusher on the entire episode series.
And we even see that a little bit in next week, a preview for next week that we just watched while we were getting ready for the episode tonight. Mm-hmm. We won't be sharing it on this show, but
no, no. Why would we talk about
the press conference scene? We'll just leave it at that. You'll know it next week.
You'll know it next week.
But no, she definitely seems a little off. Like, she seems very superficial.
And that's kind of why I feel like it feels like she's like shifty, shady, fakey.
Yeah.
I
can see that.
I could see something just like, I would be scared for the two of them to break up.
Well, the thing is, too, when her and Jim have scenes together, if I didn't know they were going out,
they're
I wouldn't
out.
Read it as them going out at all.
No.
Like, I would just think they were
friends.
Friendly colleagues or whatever.
Right. So that's a little strange.
Where's the chemistry?
Where's the chemistry? It's with Barbara.
Don't be Barbara.
Be Helen. and it just seemed a little weird that she was kind of sad that she could have been friends with the victim, but she didn't know her. I'm like, that was weird.
Yeah.
It seemed a little weird. It was almost like she was jealous of the victim because they got to be involved in this big, crazy thing. Not that she wants to die, but do you, you know what I mean by that?
She might get her chance. She might get a chance. Yeah, in the next week set or two up. Yeah.
But, so there's that.
Yeah, Lee has definitely... She, out of all the characters on the show, she's the one that just hasn't completely 100% won me over yet. Just, I mean, she's a fine enough actress and everything. She just reads as very superficial and very veneerish.
Yeah.
So I should probably at some point go watch the actress who plays Leslie.
She's in Lost.
Yeah, well, she was in on a Firefly, among other things. But I need to go and watch her in some other stuff just to see if this is just how she acts or if this is a character choice.
It feels like a character choice.
If it's a character choice, I'm almost more supportive of it. But if it's just a her acting thing, well, maybe I won't go seeking out her next turn in the Daredevil movie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because she's the love interest in the Daredevil movie they're doing with Ryan Reynolds right now.
Oh.
Okay, so speaking of Ryan Reynolds. Fish Mooney. Okay, so I have a theory about Fish Mooney here. I think that Fish Mooney, now I know we've all been angling that she's going to be dead by the end of the season.
Right.
Might still be the case. I also think they're going to make her Gotham, the TV show Gotham's first sci-fi or supernatural villain. Like, you know, Batman has a ton of these. You have your Killer Crocs, your Solomon Grundys. I mean, if you expand out to the general DC universe, you have anywhere from like Darkseid to, you know, there's a lot of sort of superpowered supernatural sci-fi villains that Batman deals with. And we haven't seen any yet in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Not even Poison Ivy has her powers yet, her plant powers.
Oh, Ivy. Miss Pepper. But,
so I think they're going to make Fish Mooney the first one of these in Gotham. Now, the Dollmaker says, or Dr. Dollmucker says, when she breaks into his office and he catches her and everything, mm-hmm. I will bring you back from the dead if I have to turn you into this monstrosity.
So creepy.
And then right after that, he mentions, you know, shooting her in the gut, very much foreshadowing what happens in the helicopter. So, you know, they wanted the writers kind of wanted those scenes to be connected in your head.
Right.
And so the connection kind of hit with me on my second watch through. So I think what's going to happen next episode, we're going to find out that Fish crashed the helicopter because,
right.
you know, she got shot in the gut.
Right.
You know, you can't control a helicopter very well. Shot in the gut. And so everyone else on the plane dies, or everyone on the helicopter dies, including Fish. I think Fish will die. And then Dollmucker or the catcher or whoever, since he's still alive, relatively okay and everything, will retrieve her body and bring it back to life and probably give it some sort of a weird sort of superpower or something like a proto Solomon Grundy or Killer Croc or something like that. And then Fish, eventually Dollmucker or Dollmaker will send Fish back to Gotham, maybe to retrieve more spare body parts, you know, something like that. Maybe she'll be his person who goes and gets new people for him or something. But so she'll end up in Gotham in the season finale. And not only will there be a big mob showdown in the season finale, but there will also be Fish Mooney with like super strength or superpowers or maybe even in a completely different body. Who knows? I mean, they could cast an entirely different actress to play her.
They kind of have to. Jade is not coming back.
This is very true.
And Bobby corrects you. It's the Deadpool movie, not Daredevil. Daredevil is what is on Netflix and causing me issues.
Oh, was I saying Daredevil? Yes. I meant Deadpool. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand any of it.
But whatchamacallit. Thank you very much, Bobby, for correcting my mistakes. That's why I love having the chat room.
I know.
We get instant corrections when we get something
People
wrong.
People can go, you're wrong, right away.
So, yeah, I kind of think that's how it's going to go, based on what they said there and kind of the foreshadowing I read into it. So that's my theory. I'm sticking to it. What do you think?
I actually kind of really like it. Like, you told me the theory before I finished watching the episode, and I went in watching, and I was like, yes. Yep, I see that actually all happening.
Yeah, and that would almost make me okay with this whole Fish plot line we've been dealing with the past few episodes, because it has seemed to go like basically nowhere.
Right.
Like that would give it somewhere to go that I would be happy about for sure.
So the Penguin, you mentioned the mob.
The Penguin.
The Penguin always brings up the mob too. I loved his entire. He only had a few little scenes this time, but I really liked them. They felt very strong to me, and it felt like the Penguin that you picture, not the Penguin we've been getting, who was kind of weak.
Oh yeah, because he's been kind of unsure of himself.
He's been unsure. He's been, you know, Jim's lackey almost with some things. It felt very strong, and he was very I don't know, like, well, with the fingers. But he had a plan. He mm-hmm. wasn't just being cunning when he needed to. He was being cunning because he wanted to.
Yeah.
Poor guitarist.
Why didn't they just kill him? Like, I didn't understand that, because, I mean, that would definitely get the daughter out of his apartment.
Yeah, but they wanted to send the message. Does he ever just do anything? I mean,
I guess.
Like that one cop, they just held him underwater with his like, wife there or something. Or no, her head underwater. Mm-hmm. It's all about sending the message.
They like cruelty.
They do like cruelty. They do like cruelty. So there's that.
Bobby says they're going to turn Mooney into an actual fish. I hope.
I hope.
Dolphin okay. fish Mooney. Gills. Sorry.
Never again. I am sorry for the audio listeners who had to hear that.
Yeah, that was probably rough for the audio.
That was awful. I do like about the place where he's going to kill Maroney. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. And I liked how his dude, I don't even remember what his name was. Gil? Maybe, which is even funnier now that you're just doing fish skills.
Yeah, but his right-hand man
was like, I don't know why you want this. This is a dump. And I'm like, you're questioning him?
Well, that was the question we were asking the entire episode, basically.
I mean, but that's fine for the audience to do it. But your right-hand man should shut up and do what you need him to.
Yeah, but apparently, I guess Maroney has some affection for that place or something, because his picture was on the wall. Yeah. It's like being, it looked like he was there for a birthday party or something
might be
like
family
that.
Family or could the be. Old neighborhood or something. Probably not
would,
family.
Would family, yeah, family wouldn't sell him out like that, I don't think. Because if they were family, they would know that him and Penguin have issues, probably. Yeah,
one would think.
I also really liked on his way to go cut the guitarist's fingers off, that moment where he walks past where Bruce is going into the gun
that
shop.
That was good.
And he just like gets that chill, like somebody just walked over my grave. Kind of hit all the same notes that Edward Nigma Penguin
yes.
scene from
I
earlier
love
did.
That.
Just a, like little brushes with your future. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Yeah. Okay. What's up?
I know what's coming.
Are you just excited?
I'm just excited.
Hold on. Let's see here. So I guess it's been a while. Been a while. Do you remember the song? Okay, now it's time to
look at this Joker.
Everybody, look at this Joker. People looking at this Joker. Don't play poker with the Joker because you'll lose. Yes, look at this Joker. This is where we look every week for clues, indications, foreshadowing, references, fan art of the Joker every week in Gotham. We've been doing it since season one, episode one, the pilot. And by the way, you can get to this page by going to legendsofgotham.com, clicking on the big look at this Joker right
the
up top.
The big look at this Joker.
Yeah, and then down through Selina Kyle, Arkham, Viper. Man, we've got a lot of these Jokers here, don't we?
There's a lot of Jokers.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stop using my scroll wheel. There's a Jim Gordon with a mustache. Okay, and here's our spring 2015 hiatus Joker. While the latest episode of Gotham didn't have any big Joker nods, we did want to mention the first-ish picture of Jared Leto as the Clown Prince of Crime. He'll be acting along with a fish husband, Will Smith, and the first live-action Harley Quinn in the upcoming film Suicide Squad, which is basically like the Magnificent Seven with supervillains. He doesn't have the makeup on yet, but he has the green hair, creepy eyes, and the camera. Now, here's a picture of it, by the way. I'm showing it on the screen. But if you don't understand the camera, don't worry. It's a reference to one of the greatest Joker stories ever told. Alan Moore's The Killing Joke. He's taking a picture of Batgirl. Like, hey, I'll leave it at that. You should read the comic. It's for mature audiences only. But and there's a copy of the cover or a picture if you've never seen it. Definitely. And if you're watching Gotham and you've never read The Killing Joke, you should probably just stop listening to our podcast. Go read it. No, not you. Stay here. I need you for this.
I was like, I guess I'm out.
Okay, and also, I wanted to mention really quick that we've started a new podcast called Universe Box, which is basically story set to a theme. It's a show about everything, and we're doing a special episode this Thursday on Superman. So if you want to check that out, we're going to record it this Thursday live at 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com. Or you can pick up the episode at universebox.com. Or we're also going to put it out as a special episode of Legends of Gotham over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Just so you guys can get a chance to check out that show and hopefully like it. And we're doing it on Superman. So I figure if you like Batman, you probably
should
like Superman.
Like Superman a little bit.
And I'm the world's biggest Superman fan. I'm going to spend the majority of the episode arguing against him. So if you don't like Superman.
Which means I have to argue for him.
Check it out, too. let's see here. I forgot to put this in the doc, but we did want to mention real quick, we are doing a new thing here, kind of a way to help support the podcast, like Universe Box, this one, Legends of Gotham, or our other fan. Greetings from Storybrooke. And that's Patreon. It's at patreon.com/universebox. Now, if you don't know what Patreon is, it's way you can get in there and, you know, make a monthly donation to kind of help us, you know,
do what we do.
Yeah.
Get better
pay
equipment.
For equipment, a beer every now and again, maybe. Yeah. You know, if you want to buy us a beer, a cup of coffee or something, this is a way you can do it too. But, you know, really just to help support the podcast and
right.
help us get more content out there. Now, right now we have 20 patrons and we're at $138.50 a month,
That's
which
awesome.
Is great. We've already
really
hit two milestones.
About that.
No more ads.
Internal ads.
Yeah, we do a monthly hangout with our patrons where we go and have a big online hangout party. And Bobby's picking on me. That's fine. And the next milestone that we want to hit is $200 a month, and then we're going to start doing movie commentaries.
So fun.
What are the first ones we're going to do?
The first ones we're going to do is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Goonies.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to try and rotate some Bat films in there too.
Yes.
Once we get that, get up to that milestone. And the other one, which we're probably not going to hit till fall, but it would be nice if we hit it before, is Instant Reactions, where right after we watch the episode of Gotham every week, we'll come and we'll post a special, like,
really quick, like, yeah, 3-minute. Not even going 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like five minutes.
5 to 10 minute kind of instant reaction, what we thought of the episode. We'll put it out right after we watch the episode, and then we'll include it on the podcast.
Yep.
And you can also get a lot of rewards on Patreon, too. You can, at any level, even 10 cents a month, you get every Dog Boy Adventures book that I've ever written.
Yep.
And then there are things like we'll sing a song for you. We'll write you a letter, mm-hmm. sketches. You can do all this to help support us creating great podcasts for you at patreon.com/universebox. And remember to think outside, because that's the catchphrase for the universe.
That's what we do. We think outside.
It happens. Okay, reviews?
Reviews. Okay, this week we have two reviews to read. The first is from one Bobby Hawk. You got comics in my procedural show. You got procedurals in my comics show. Longtime DC fan Bill Meeks walks comics novice Anne-Marie DeSimone. Oh, yeah. Through an urban jungle that is Gotham. Misspelled. this is a great podcast for longtime fans of the comics or those just tuning in because they thought they liked the show and have never seen a comic. Anytime a listener might ask themselves, what is Bill talking about? is probably about the time Anne-Marie will chime in. What are you talking about, Bill?
What's the killing joke?
What's the killing joke? They complement each other quite nicely in that regard. The two hosts have a great time together, and that totally comes through.
And the other one here is from Ron P. And Ron P. said, first of all, the subject is my favorite Gotham podcast. I really enjoyed the spoiler cast show tonight. What a great way to get us back excited about Gotham. I can't wait to see what happens on the next episode. This is definitely my favorite Gotham podcast, and believe me, I've tried others. I look forward to hearing more of your commentaries on this and other shows if you do those. Much love, and thank you, Ron P.
Thank you, Ron P. Please check out Greetings from Storybrooke.
Yeah, definitely.
Talk about Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, it's a good one, and we might be doing some more too soon with the whole Patreon thing we're talking about.
Yes, if the Patreon does mm-hmm. good, we can do more.
Yeah, and we'd love it if you could go over to iTunes or Stitcher Radio and leave us a review, and we'll read it on the show like we just did.
Yep.
Okay, now one thing before we get back into the main discussion, but this is relevant to the episode.
Totally.
I spotted a big Easter egg last night, and I think I was the only one to do it because I posted it all around the internet today, and I was the only one doing it, and everyone was like, yes, you're right. Okay,
he loves when he's right.
I know. So the last scene there with Commissioner Loeb where Jim is like, I'm taking you down next, buddy, Peter Scolari, guy from the Newhart show. Commissioner Loeb comes in with a bunch of Gotham City Police Department police officers Dudes. Around him. And I recognized, I believe he was a Chief O'Hara from the 1960s series. We'll have this link in our show notes at legendsofgotham.com or the picture, but I'm putting it up on the screen for the video right now. It's almost a spitting image
right.
of, I forget the actor's name, but the guy who played Chief O'Hara on the 60s Batman TV show, which it just has to be intentional, right?
It has to be. This isn't a mm-hmm. show that's going to have those accidents. They're doing that on purpose.
Yeah, it's way too close. It's the exact same uniform, and the guy looks almost – it has the same facial structure.
Scowl.
Yeah, it has the same scowl. It looks exactly like him. So I'd really love it if they made this guy like a reoccurring character. You know,
I think he should just pop up randomly.
Because Chief O'Hara, like even in the comics, Chief O'Hara has very rarely shown up. There's an incontinuity
really?
Version, but he doesn't show up very much. He was a creation specifically for the 60s show.
Oh.
So, And Bobby saying he saw it as well. No, you didn't, Bobby. Okay, so let's go here. Next up, I wanted to talk about kind of the thing they did with, you know, introducing us to the ogre, even though he wasn't interacting with everyone in the episode. So, you know, they had those strange little cutaways where we would see the ogre seducing his victim and torturing her and everything. And, you know, they were interesting, but they felt just a little bit off to me. And I think it came down to a POV problem, a point of view problem. Generally, when we have stuff going on in the show, it's being seen through the lens of one of our main characters, your Jim Gordons, your Bruce Waynes, your Oswald Cobblepots. You know, basically the main cast, the people who show up right at the top and everything. So, you know, all these scenes that we get with the ogre in this episode, our main characters aren't there. We're learning information that they don't know.
And it was fuzzy. Mm-hmm. They had a fuzz over it.
Yeah, it looked almost like kind of like a grindhouse film or something, sort of effect with a grain and kind of shakiness and stuff like that.
A little bit.
No, so, you know, I think that's why it felt off to me, just because we weren't learning about this villain through the main characters. We were just learning about him off on his own adventure.
Right.
Which was a little weird.
With a different chick each time.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that it was probably done as kind of an info dump, a way for us to get a really clear idea of the guy's MO and the way he operates and even his demeanor and everything. So that way they don't have to waste a whole lot of time in the next couple episodes with this character, you know, catching the audience up while they're catching Jim up. I do wonder, though, will Jim discover everything we know right now about the ogre, or will everything mostly be left in the dark with him? Like, I wonder if Jim will still have questions about the ogre after the ogre's been defeated. That's kind of what I'm curious about.
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
I have no idea, because how is he going to get him with
my
question's why.
Hypothetical, it's assuming that the ogre dies at the end or whatever.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. It was kind of an interesting choice for them, though. Probably one of the most experimental kind of things they've done outside of the pilot, where they were doing, like, the crazy, like, shaky cams and all that stuff.
I'm so glad they stopped with the shaky cam.
They kind of dropped the whole Jim having PSD from being in the war thing entirely.
Yeah. Like, it didn't read well.
No, I guess not. But yeah, I'm wondering, you know, if Jim does go in there and discover a lot of this information, though, it's probably going to feel really repetitive. But at the same time,
It depends on how he discovers it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, the way they have it set up, or at least the way the character is even set up.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to go after somebody that's close to Jim. Come on, people. We've seen promo pictures, right? Like, we know what's going on. So.
Yeah, but it's definitely one of those things. I'm sure it was just to grease the wheels for the next couple episodes. A very unusual and interesting choice from them. And I think it kind of worked. I guess we'll have to wait for the other couple episodes to find out for sure.
Exactly. I do like that we have this arc for another two episodes.
Definitely.
Yay. Okay, Harvey. Many, many things about darling Harvey. As always, he fights and he fights and he fights with Jim and he preaches to him and he tells him, can't you just deal with it? And then he goes along and does whatever Jim wanted him to do anyway. Mm-hmm, I believe Jim told him to get his ass out of the chair or something this week. Like,
well, he just has to be the contrarian.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
While giving Jim Spanish lessons.
Let me say this in Spanish.
No.
No. they needed Alvarez for that interpretation. Let's see. I love how he gave Ed the riddle or the joke and it completely caught him off guard. He's like, is that a riddle? Is that a riddle? I really like playing with my camera now. Sorry.
He likes riddles.
Okay, but the terror in his eyes went the broken heart picture. It was almost as if the ogre has gotten somebody he loves.
You think?
He knew somebody who personally was attacked by this guy.
I could see that. Although I do think it's weird that anytime something comes through the GCPD that
he knows
only
about
the,
it.
Well, I was going to say only the upper level people are supposed to know about. Harvey always knows about it. But.
There's more stories there that we don't know.
Yeah.
He may have been up there and got knocked back down. Yeah,
we haven't really got a good Harvey centered episode since Spirit of the Goat.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And then the one where he was invested with the Scarecrow.
Yeah, but still, we need a real.
Need some more backstory.
We need to know someone else in his his life.
Where does Harvey go when he's not hanging out with Jim Gordon?
He's always hanging out with Jim
Gordon.
He
just sits there at the desk waiting for Jim to get back. drink.
But it did seem a little weird, like, because Harvey talks about him like he's a legend. And, mm-hmm. like, he's been around and around and around.
Yeah.
And Gilger's not that old.
Well, I mean, he's
almost 40, but...
He could have been around for a decade, because, I mean, just going, you know, real world, that actor, he was on Heroes about a decade ago.
Yeah, I know. He's 37. but no, it's like, I don't know. It just seems weird that nobody else knows about it. Like, mm-hmm. I know he keeps saying it's only the upper level people are supposed to know about it.
Yeah.
But how do only the upper level people know about all these stories? It's just weird.
You get a docket.
You didn't see anything on the copier. Like,
you get a docket of upper level information once you hit the upper level.
Here's all the stories that you've missed in the past 10 years. So. I don't know. But we see the sort of this is going back and forth with the whole, the ogre's not that old. He only has 13 victims and he seems to bounce pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's that. Next.
Sorry. Well, you know, he does definitely keep them for, you know, months at a time, too.
Right. So there is weeks to months. Mm-hmm.
So something interesting, kind of surprising to me in this episode concerning Fish's morality. Now, I didn't expect Fish to rescue all those people who helped her work her way to the top of the mansion. Yeah, because, you know, I was expecting Fish Mooney to look out for Fish Mooney, and that's the only person Fish Mooney's looking out for.
That's the only person Fish Mooney's ever looked out for.
But no, not only does she save all those people who helped her, but she also kills all the people who didn't, you know.
Right, the people who were mean to her, basically.
All minus one well-placed shotgun shot. She did everything right. Like, everything worked out pretty much completely.
She did as good as she could have.
So, you know, like I said, historically, she's only cared about Fish Mooney. So I just wonder, like, does she, at this point, does she regret betraying Falcone? And, you know, if maybe this was her way of kind of atoning for it a little bit. And I you know, the old saying, honor among thieves. We've never really seen Fish have much honor among thieves before.
No, she has no honor among anybody. She kills everybody.
Yeah, so maybe there is a little bit there under the surface.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, I do think it's weird that so many of my points this week were about Fish Mooney, and it was probably the least interesting plot line to me, except until the end, when I kind of got my
exactly.
inspiration.
It's also funny because you've been pretty meh on Fish the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's... Well, I liked her at the beginning. I liked her until she went out to the island.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what I
there
think
were part,
there were like episodes like 3 and 4. Her performance was a little uneven.
Yeah,
but
she was just
I'd like her
the
for
role.
The most part.
Okay. So I do like how Fish tricked the killer group into the escape and basically giving her out. You were done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just realized I just went on to my next point.
That's fine.
Come
see the softer side of Fish, Bobby says in the chat room.
but. Never mind, I can't repeat. so, yeah. But it seemed weird that, you know, how did they know about the gate?
Yeah, like, how did that gate open, even? Like,
it didn't.
Well, I mean, when she came down to rescue, to finally get them out of there, and Dollmaker stands between her
and
the
gate. Oh, I wasn't even thinking that gate.
And the gate just, like, swings open.
I don't think it was locked because she had just been down there.
Oh, okay. Okay, that
makes
sense.
So she left it and probably closed it but didn't lock it.
Ah.
And they just pushed it. She was just gesturing. I mean the gate by the boat.
Mm.
How did they know about the gate?
Well, didn't she tell them?
That's what I realized after I said it. So, because obviously they don't know that she can't go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they know?
Yeah, that's true.
So
I did like kind of the way she kind of gauged the situation by stepping out there. But I'm also really surprised she wasn't shot immediately by the catcher.
I think because she was in a non-threatening way out there and she was in the all white, like they had to know who she was, at least a marginal amount.
So am I to take from this, though, that all the employees they have out there are all people who were abducted that he decided to trust?
I don't think so. No, those guys weren't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like all the staff, all the medical staff inside the facility.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going
on. Just because it was really weird, because you'd think, you know, if, you know, they hired professional nurses or something to come in there and assist and stuff, that they would let them, you know, step outside for a smoke break or something, you know, and not just immediately bring in the guns. But
they may have a special room for that type of thing.
I don't know. I need just like a basic layout. I need an onboarding for Dr. Tallmaker's.
I don't want an onboarding for Dr. Tallmaker. bonkers. But I do enjoy the fact that she can fly a helicopter.
Good to know.
Even after being shot.
Trivia, Fish Mooney can fly a helicopter.
Right. Also, the first time I was watching it, I totally didn't see the boat that first time she was looking out the window. I just saw the helicopter. And the second time I was like, oh, the boat.
The boat was there the whole time.
The boat was there the whole time. So, yeah, neat.
Okay, and the last thing I really wanted to
Where did she learn to drive a helicopter, though?
A helicopter driving school.
Okay.
Falcone has one. It's fine. But Loeb's plan in this episode, his plan to kind of, muscle Jim Gordon out of the situation since he's becoming an issue.
Right.
I thought it was a really smart way to set Jim up. First of all, it played off his ego by puffing him up. You know, we need your help to clean up the forest, guy.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. We want to help you clean up the forest. We want to be good cops too, just like you, Jimmy. And you know, kind of.
Wow.
We want to be just like you. So you know, it really puffs him up and kind of leans into you know how he's feeling about himself as a force in the city, anyway.
Right.
So it's also a very common method to manipulate people. You know, those guys in the mall that have like the sea salt lotion and stuff.
Sea salt lotion.
They're though. Just like, oh, you have such soft hands. Let me rub this product. Can you give me $40? You know, sort of thing. So it's easy to spot, you know, if you're walking through the mall or something, you know, and you're expecting it from somebody. Very easy to spot if you're not expecting it from somebody, like, say, a young recruit comes up to you and gives you this line. You know, it's probably going to work on you.
Right.
So, and it does on Jim, obviously. You know, so that young cop, Glenn, you know, just completely slid under his radar. But I really liked it just because of how kind of cold, clean, and vicious it was, the whole plan.
Yeah.
You know, because basically what Loeb was doing is he was like, okay, we're just going to have him sending him off on the right moral path, and it's going to get the people he loves and probably himself killed, and then
right.
he won't be my problem anymore.
Right.
So I was really excited about that, and I was also excited that we're going to get more of Peter Scolari because Jim's going after him next.
Yeah.
You know, he's on Jim's hit list and everything. What's up?
Marshall, why am I the only one who can't think of funny things to say in the chat?
That was actually really funny,
but
Marshall.
That was funny, Marshall. Good job.
Okay, so let's see here. Arbitrary scale. Okay, out of 45 50 Shades of Grey dungeons, how many 50 Shades of Grey dungeons would you give this episode?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
37?
Why?
It was 37. 45, right?
Yeah, out of 45.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was good. I liked it. Things happened. Mm-hmm. There's room for improvement is my usual stim by response.
Yes.
Nothing's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm sticking with it.
And as for me, I think I'm going to go with 27. Yeah. 27 Shades of Grey dungeons out of 45. Just because I like the episode and the parts I liked about it, I really, really liked about it. But at the same time, I thought the kind of a trick they did with the POV and the ogre and everything just felt a little off to me based on the precedent they've set in the show.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, it was a little exciting.
It was really fun.
Yeah. I think the fish plot line, it just always feels slow because it's so disconnected from everything else going on in the show.
Which means it's not going to be for much longer.
Yeah.
There's no way that it can stay disconnected.
Yeah, like really my whole evaluation or ideas about the fish plot line, it all depends on how it ends up, you know, in the season finale or everything. So I guess we'll know in a few weeks, which is a lot of fun.
Crazy.
Okay, well, we're going to get into some news and some letters and stuff here.
Yep.
But first, what we're doing now, we mentioned we don't do the Audible ads anymore.
Right.
What we're doing is we're running internal promos for other podcasts on not really a network, but that we do. And this one is we did this last week's episode of Universe Box at universebox.com was Drunk, and we did a Power Hour, and we edited this little video together, a little 1-minute video to kind of show you what you've been missing in Universe Box. So watch this, and then we'll be back. I can't talk. We must have missed a couple, so I'm going to just finish this one I have here.
1, 2, 3, let's go.
Do a shot.
Power hour, yeah.
I lied.
I'm not going to finish it.
And if you want to check more of that out, check out Universe Box at universebox.com. We have a couple of ratings here from people in here. Let's see. Marshall gives it 33 50 Shades of Grey dungeons. Bobby gives it 42 shades. Just shades.
Just shades.
And Wynn gives it 25 shades.
Meh. She says meh. 25 shades. So yeah. Wynn's throwing the shade.
Yes. And I did get very slurry by the end of that power hour.
Yeah, so did
sure.
you, Bobby.
Okay. And now, time for the news.
News.
First up, the ratings on Fox Gotham returned to a 1.5 share, down 25% from a 2.0 in adults 18 to 18.
There was only 18-year-olds watching this.
18-49 rating for its most recent original episode. But it's not to be expected.
I mean, it was coming off a hiatus.
Yeah, big hiatus and everything. So people aren't in the habit yet of coming back and watching it.
They will be now.
They will for sure. Here, yes. Let's see here. Next up, we have the
did you just close the wrong window?
I closed the wrong window, yeah.
Good.
Okay, we're going to show you the preview for next week's episode, Under the Knife, here. And since we don't do the ads Google. Anymore, we can actually show you the preview, which is kind of fun. So let's go here. We'll go and watch it.
You do understand anything that happens is my fault.
Rise love star. That he's taken.
A hero cop who's going to clean up Gotham.
Yeah, it looks like Jim's doing a very public takedown of the ogre. He's
dead. Ooh, we finally get that episode.
Yeah, Enigma that's with the knife.
See for yourself.
Leslie and Barbara getting stalked by the ogre.
Ooh.
Barbara ends up in the 50 Shades of Grey horde. Creepy.
That's so perfect.
Thanks,
for her, though.
Like and subscribe.
No, what? I'm not going to like and subscribe, YouTube.
Who are you, little YouTube man?
I don't know what that was at all. I'm scared now. I'm absolutely scared now. Okay, you want to talk about this next one?
Sure, this next one. It's a great friend of ours, Rebecca Johnson. She was recently diagnosed and battling breast cancer.
We do have a voicemail from her.
We do have a voicemail from her. But she wrote a blog post about how... Speaking doesn't work for me always. How Black Canary and Arrow and all of that really helped her and motivated her through her fight. And it's been picked up by quite a few places. There's been a lot of response, I believe, from the actress and everything.
She had it up on her Tumblr, but we'll link to the moviepilot.com story in our show notes.
Which I believe does link to her Tumblr.
Yes.
So follow her. She's good people.
Yeah,
she's a great geek.
She's a huge, huge DC fan, too. She's one of the co-hosts of Supergirl Radio,
right.
Who's on the DC TV podcast
with us.
Collaboration with us.
Yes.
Definitely. So,
she's amazing. She's fighting cancer, fought cancer. I'm lost where she's at on it, but she's doing good, and that makes me happy. Okay. Big puffy hearts for you, Becca.
And our last story here, if you're concerned about spoilers for the DC Comics Batman comics, I would go ahead and skip a couple minutes ahead. Because if you didn't know, after Convergence happens this summer, there's going to be a new Batman who's like in a weird mech suit kind of thing. And we found out today it was leaked the identity of said Batman. Here's the bat suit, by the way. It looks kind of like he's carrying a gun, kind of rough and tumble and everything. So this is really relevant to Gotham, by the way, because the new Batman is none other than a mustacheless Jim Gordon. Yes, it's him in the bat suit, and he's being Batman for the Gotham City Police Department.
Ooh.
And it has the traditional red hair that Commissioner Gordon has in the comics, but I think they kind of made his face look a little Ben McKenzie-ish too.
A little bit there.
But from our buddies over at blaster.com, that article. Okay, now let's see here. Okay, so now on to some listener feedback.
Lots of feedback. I love it.
As always, when you get done watching the episode next week, what I need you to do is I need you to go out on a date with a girl.
Oh, hey.
Take her to a speakeasy. Kind of hit her up with some really kind of cheesy, kind of lame pickup lines. Take her back to your apartment. Email us, legendsofgotham@gmail.com.
Email us about your date, please.
Tweet us at Legends of Gotham. The Facebook is facebook.com/Legends of Gotham. And the voicemail number, which we almost always play, is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Sorry, I'm talking really slow here because I was waiting
to see.
And as always, we're going to start off with Bobby. Take it away, Bobby. Maybe.
Hey, Bill and Amory, it's Bobby.
Hey.
I know I've mentioned this before, but I was not a fan of this show
when it first started. The first few episodes were kind of lackluster for me. But I have to say, each week lately, they've just been bringing it. I mean, I know it's been a minute since we got a new episode, but last night's was great. I loved every minute of the episode. It sucked to only see Alfred for a second, but it gave Bruce a chance to go out on his own and finally show what he's made of. I mean, he got it done, you know, got crap done. It was really cool to see him just for a second, you know, want to push that guy out the window. But then he's like, wait a second, I can't do that. I'm Bruce Wayne. And then Kat was like, oh, well, I can. And just tossed him out the window. The little scene with Gordon and Bruce was great. With Gordon or Bruce acting all nervous and like, oh, I cut this bread too thick, didn't I? Oh, I'm
that was funny.
I hate it when that happens.
You can see he's just like barely holding it together without Alfred there. Loved the beats with Penguin. And I don't know if we've got his name before. I guess his henchman's name is Gabe. And he's one of my favorite characters on the show. I thought the case this week was awesome. I mean, I know this is going to carry over for at least another week. We've talked about that with the Ogre. I mean, it just sucks because I really like Milo Ventimiglia as an actor. So it just sucks to have to hate him. And I'm getting a bit tired of fish on the island, so I thought it was great that not only did they get her off of there, potentially, I guess, considering what happened there on the helicopter, but I thought they did it in a pretty cool way to show that, you know, maybe she does actually care for these other people, especially Kelly. You know, it was really cool to see her help him, considering how much she had screwed him over the last episode. The one thing I am disappointed about is, what the hell happened to Montoya and Alan?
Yes.
Yes.
It's like the writers Preach. Decided that since they're no longer a foil to Gordon, they just don't need to be on the show anymore. Well, sorry to keep this email or voicemail or whatever you want to call it so long, but really love the episode, and I'll give it 9 of 10 lost fingers.
Excellent. Thank you, Bobby. And yeah, Bobby was wondering what was going on with his voicemail. Generally,
he sends them in a little earlier.
Well, the thing, a little behind the sauce here, generally what we do with all the voicemails when we get them is we go and do a little noise removal, and we do something called truncate silence to make them a little shorter. So if you heard a bunch of pauses in there that aren't usually there, Bobby.
Or some weird background noises.
You sent it in super late as a joke, which was hilarious, but we didn't have enough time to do it. Yeah, we didn't have enough time to get all that post work done, but we did on Dave from Michigan's voicemail. So take it away, Dave.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. It's Dave from Michigan calling in about the Gotham that I watched last night.
Hey, Dave, I'm going to start you
over
again.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. It's Dave from Michigan calling in about the Gotham that I watched last night. I think it's a pretty good show so far. I think that this, the ending of this season so far is picking up some good steam. But I wanted to call for you to tell you guys something that happened to me. When I was watching this episode, I kept thinking to myself, that's not really him. That's Siler. I don't know if you guys will get that, but I'm assuming some of your listeners will. But yes. That's the only thing I could think of the entire time that the Ogre was being so evil. So, all right, have a good show.
That is fantastic on so many levels.
Actually, I don't know if we've ever mentioned this on this show before, but Heroes was actually one of the first shows that we started like
it was us
digging together and everything. So, yeah, we know some Heroes. We got that reference, Dave. Thank you. Next up is Joel from Portland. Take it away, Joel.
Hey, guys. This is Joel from Portland, and I'm chilling out with my friend Robert and Tars.
Hi, Robert and Tars. I'm
done watching this week's episode, which I like to call 50 Shades of Ogre, because this dude, it was clearly a page straight out of Grey's Anatomy, Grey's Anatomy, but 50 Shades of Grey. Anyways, a lot of exposition in this episode. They set a lot of stuff up, so it was mostly boring. The only exciting part was the lady who owned the bar that the Penguin was trying to buy. Interesting thing, if you look at her collar, it looks like the Bat Cow upside down, so it kind of looked like it was a shadow of Batman. Anyways, it was okay episode. I kind of liked them going after the guy who stabbed Alfred. And that was some really good acting from that actor. I haven't seen him in a lot of stuff, so it was good to see him actually put out some chops. But, arbitrary rating, I would give this episode, you know, 13 out of 20 rolling pins. So, anyways, thanks for the show. Interested in your guys' thoughts. Talk to you later.
Thank you very
much,
Joel.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I believe that's the second time we've heard from Joel. Yes, I love his stuff.
I love it. Good
definitely
times.
Send more. Next up is Rebecca. Take it away, Rebecca.
What's up, Legends of Gotham?
What's up?
This is Rebecca Johnson, and I'm calling about the episode Beasts of Prey. I liked that this episode finally had some forward movement in Fish's story on the island. I had been thinking that the all-white outfit she was wearing was bad news, because in TV, that usually means that they're going to throw some blood on it. And that's exactly what happened. Loved Bruce and Selena's scenes as per the usual. And I thought it was very in character that when Bruce felt like he needed to kill someone, Selena would step in and do it so he wouldn't have to. I thought that was very true to their relationship, that she would take the fall for him. So I really liked that. And I also loved angry Jim Gordon at the end of the episode. And since he's determined to go after Loeb, do you think this is the start of his journey to becoming Commissioner Gordon? Well, I am glad to have the show and your podcast back, so can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I actually wrote in my notes, oh, but if he takes Loeb down, who will they get to replace Loeb? Who could it
possibly be?
Maybe Mr. Jim Gordon himself. Jimmy Gordon.
Jim Gordon?
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G?
Jimmy G, I like to call him.
Jimmy G.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca.
And to wrap up here, we have a tweet from Wynn.
Tweet.
Wynn said, loved Cat last night, but would rather have seen Frankenwoman rampage over the rest. Hated the 50 Shades of Slay segment. But then she also pointed out, I guess they're doing this kind of like a humorous hashtag. Next week on Gotham, go to Twitter and search for this. Check it out if you want to. Let's see here.
Next week on Gotham.
Next week on Gotham. Cat's pushing Reggie. There's an ogre goon, little boy Bruce, and a hole in Fish Moon. Let's see. Next week on Gotham, while out with Cat, Bruce sees something in the sky and asks what it is. Cat says, it's a bat, man. Lots of these. funny, sometimes not so funny, but mostly funny things. Just by searching the next week on Gotham hashtag over there on the Twitters.
That's fun.
Now, like I said, next week, when you're done watching the episode at the speakeasy, you might as well watch it at the
Watch it at the speakeasy. Absolutely. They don't need a liquor license, but they do need cable.
Take your date back to your apartment.
Oh.
Stab her in the stomach and chest. Then email us, legendsofgotham@gmail.com. Tweet us at Legends of Gotham. The Facebook is facebook.com/Legends of Gotham. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352.
Please do not murder or injure people. We are not endorsing that.
I am. Where can people find you online, Anne-Marie?
On Twitter at AMDSimone. And we could talk about how crazy Bill is with his statement.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can follow the books I write, the superhero adventure series Dog Boy Adventures at dogboyadventures.com. And you can follow the other podcasts we do at universebox.com, greetingsfromstorybrook.com, and there's no third one.com because we're on it right now, Legends of Gotham.
I don't know what's wrong with me tonight.
Like I said, you guys are going to see a Universe Box special on Superman come through your feed over the weekend. So I hope you enjoy it. And if you like it, please subscribe to Universe Box. We're having a lot of fun over there and we'd love to.
So good.
And,
you know, its story is set to a theme, and there's a whole a completely different theme every week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've talked home, we've talked cookies, we've talked coffee. Like,
I'm sure eventually we'll get to Batman, too.
We are talking Harry Potter at one point.
Harry Potter.
Just so you know.
Yeah. We've already. What was the one we already did? We already did one like that. Nickelodeon. Old school Nickelodeon. Lots
old
of good stuff.
Old school Nickelodeon.
Okay, but it's great to be back, Gothamites.
It's so good.
We're super pumped.
I love it.
Super duper 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 pumped. It's going to bring this season home here. Which actually, I believe the year anniversary of our first episode is like in a week or two.
Is it?
Yeah.
We should do a thing.
Like a cake.
Maybe I should make cookies. I have a Batman cookie cutter.
Do it.
Oh, now I have to do it.
Okay. Join us next time for more
Legends of Gotham. Hey.
Guess Monkey says, I'll say this before I swing away on a branch with some banana pudding. Gotham would be far more successful than Daredevil's is this week. If it was Gotham on Netflix all at once, it would be far more popular. Definitely. And we've talked about that too, Guest Monkey, whoever you are.
Yes, Guest Monkey.
But
I would like some banana pudding.